You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour One. An afternoon drive home like no other.
It's a radio show, and they worry about how we look.
There seems to be a disconnect.
There's a lot of smoke and mirrors pumped in there, for sure.
You know you have a brutal look when they're like, man, these guys are on radio, but this can't pass.
We got to clean this up quick.
This has got to change, man. These guys look brutal.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Well, Noodles, you're in a suit today.
Yes.
We just heard that clip. There's no cameras in here. We're doing radio.
I know.
I'm dressed like a slob, and I feel great about
believe it. Believe me, I wish I was dressed like a slob. I got a little the car wash to do today. I've got Sports Center, That's Hockey, you name it. It's all coming my way. A post on Hellebuyck.
Wow, Connor Hellebuyck, post to post.
What's going on with Connor Hellebuyck? No, I mean, that's why I'm in a suit, or else I would be in a T-shirt and a Leafs lunch hoodie.
I'm wearing the Leafs lunch hoodie. The free hoodie that the O-Dog had manufactured, and
Jonas
I feel good.
Looks like the guy from the Weiser's commercial. Like, that sweater is something. Like, that is
it's
an
warm.
Uppity class sweater. Is
right.
it not?
Yeah, that's, you only drink aged whiskey.
Yeah, like, that's a four-finger pour with a giant ice cube. And now you need,
like a cigar?
You need a cigar. You need glasses.
A monocle.
Like, yeah.
You need a monocle.
A monocle. And we need a nickname.
For again. Jonas?
Well, okay, so it's Hayes, Noodles, and yesterday, and Johnson. And you're like, all right, it's Johnny or something.
But here's the thing, man. My name is Hayes. Like, I thought about that on the way home. Johnny's complaining that everyone's got a nickname. I don't. My name is Hayes.
Like, it should be Bri Guy then or something.
I hate that nickname. That's what my sisters used to call me that and all their friends.
Oh,
but I noticed that. Like, I don't know why I didn't pounce on it yesterday. Because we call him Johnny. Like, Johnny is a nickname. And he's like, wow, what's this all about? I don't have a nickname. There's Hayes and Noodles. And I'm like, that's my name, though. That's not a nickname. I don't have a nickname.
Hayes, Noodles, and Siegel. There it is.
Basically, yeah.
You didn't have a nickname when you played?
Hazy or Hazer. Hazy. There's nothing.
So what would you like your nickname to be?
I don't really care. Yeah, it's, Hazy B.
It's what Dwayne Casey calls him.
Hazy B.
Oh, Hazy B. Oh, yeah, his best friend, his best buddy.
Hazy
B. Best friend.
That's right. Hazy B. Well, and listen, if the NBA playoffs started tonight, guess who would be in town?
Detroit.
Dwayne Casey and
Where
the Detroit Pistons.
Where would your heart be? Would you want... I mean, the Raptors in seven. In seven in overtime or something.
Raptors in seven with Dwayne Casey just performing, you know, beautifully throughout the whole series. That's what I would be rooting for.
Which would be close. I mean, I don't know if he's a great coach, so he may be able to challenge the Raptors. The Raptors are a better team.
Believe me, the Raptors, they don't want to deal with that, but I'm not concerned about them dealing with that. If they played Detroit, I still think they would win in five.
Right.
I don't think it would go more than five games. And even if they play Brooklyn, same thing. The Nets have played them well.
Right.
The Nets have played them very well this year. But I still feel pretty confident about where the Raptors are at. The Raptors, you know, and the Leafs last night was a deplorable evening for the Toronto sports scene.
You know? I expected that, though.
Tampa's good.
Tampa's really good, and the Leafs were coming off I know it's not a tough trip because all these other teams.
West time
but it's hard. Like, it's hard on your body.
You're right. I was... Again, it's 1:30 in the morning last night. I'm staring at the ceiling. The time clock, and that 1 hour messed me up. And they're coming back off the West, and then you're losing an hour. I'm not making excuses.
It's a reality.
Those are excuses.
That's what happens.
I'm not. Believe me, the Leafs were a no-show, and Tampa is as dominant a team as I've seen. Like the set plays, the structure in their zone, like their power play wasn't even going, and like they had zero concern. Like they're like a well-oiled machine, and they play well. Now the Leafs didn't have much pushback. I would have liked to see them play a lot better game, a lot hardened game, like kind of what I was saying yesterday. They just didn't show up. They weren't good enough.
There were built-in excuses for a loss.
Right.
Absolutely. The West Coast trip, the quick turnaround, injury, sickness.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like the flu's going through. I'll grant you that. The loss was not unexpected. The effort, though, there's no excuse for that.
That was
abysmal last night. Now, I think they packed up shop at 4-0. You know, Jonas, you and I were talking about that. The scoreboard did not necessarily indicate how the game was playing out. You know, Tampa was better from puck drop, but it's not like the Leafs were brutal the first 10 or 12 minutes of the game.
No, they were there.
Yeah. They were okay, but once it got to four, and Freddie got pulled, it was like, see you later, we're done. Yeah. And that's a rude awakening, because even though their effort was terrible, Tampa showed what they're all about.
Yeah,
like Tampa proved why they're the best team in the league last
night. And here's how I knew it was Tampa's night and not the Leafs. The fourth goal was going 8 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
And goes off Matthews' leg and goes in the net. And the body language alone on Austin, where he turns around and looks up at the scoreboard and goes, I got to see a replay of this. Like, that was going, because if you actually look at the puck angle, I don't even know, who was the D that shot? It was a right-handed shot.
I think it was Sergachev, wasn't it?
Left-handed shot. Snapped it towards the net. Like, I don't know what he was looking for, just to get it down to the front of the net. But it was going at least 8 feet wide, and hits a leg and goes in. And there was a couple deflections, but Tampa created those deflections by getting the front of the net. Ozhiganov was not in good position the one play. Like, they deserved that. But I knew right then, I'm like, okay, this is a night where, and I was glad, like, get Freddie out of there. Like, he doesn't need any more of this debacle. And the team was flat, and at that point, you're right, like, they were gone.
Well, and then what you hope for is, you know, don't dig yourself a deeper hole in the city. Don't allow the media or the fan base to run with anything. And a few things came out of the game. The Morgan Riley stuff we'll get to in a moment. But Austin Matthews came out postgame and was asked about, you know, the performance of the team.
Yeah.
And here's what Matthews said postgame.
Obviously, the effort kind of just wasn't there at times. And, I mean, I think in the third period, we pretty much just quit. So, I mean, that's on us as players. We got to wake up and do a much better job and hold each other accountable and not let Freddie or Sparks you up to dry and make sure we compete a full 60 minutes despite the score.
The Q word, man, you don't hear that very often.
Quit.
You don't hear the Q word very often. And listen, I appreciate the candor. I appreciate that. I think he's right. I think he's being honest. I think he's like, listen, we knew it was over and we kind of packed up shop and that's the way we played. But it's saying you quit, admitting to it publicly.
Saying it and doing it is a different thing. Like, coming into this show, I kept thinking last night, okay, obviously, what was the lead story? Is it how good Tampa is? Is it Austin Matthews or is it Morgan Riley? Like, there's so many things that went on last night. Like, is that the lead that got buried because of everything else?
Well, I think the Morgan Riley story took on a life of its own.
Right.
I mean, it got to the point where the NHL had to investigate, and Riley and Dubas had to speak to the media.
Yeah.
And by extension, the fans today, too. And again, we will get to that momentarily. But that kind of candid nature from Matthews, again, I appreciate it because I think he's being honest. But I think it says something about where he's from.
Right.
And how he came up. Because he didn't grow up in a conventional hockey market.
No, like, that is as honest as, I mean,
you want to hear from a guy who grew up in Canada and grew up in a hockey world and who has been a grizzled vet in Toronto. Here is what that sounds like.
I don't think so. We're not quitters. We've never been like that. We always finish it to the end. You know, did we want a better effort? Of course. I mean, you know, when three pucks go off, you know, skates and into the back of the net in the first period, you're kind of almost like, you know, what just happened sort of thing. So definitely stunned us and you know, took away our momentum. It's never to regain possession of that. And, you know, it certainly showed.
That's a Canadian up and knows you never give them anything like saying you quit. You never say that.
When Nas is the voice of reason, like, and I love him, but, you know, there's been times where he's shot from the hip where he's like, Lupul's great. Gonna come back, you know what I mean? Like, they've come right to him and said, we need a quote out of this. And his media training and his savviness and veteran status stepped in right now. He's like, whoa, hold on a second.
That is a grizzled vet.
I'm gonna point to three, you know,
never. You know, we wish it went a different way.
But don't you guys remember last year, Frederik Andersen? I think it was after a game in Philly where he basically. He said something sort of similar where he questioned their effort, and it was like, whoa. Frederik Andersen never really says anything, like, outrageous. And, like, for the goalie to be questioning the effort, it was like, this kind of feels the same way. It has the same kind of urgency. Like, this is not the way you want to go into the playoffs. I would, like, zap last night. It's more like the last, like, month and a half, two months.
The urgency isn't there.
It's like a malaise is kind of like.
And it happens throughout the season. I want to. I am not making excuses whatsoever. The Western swing, the office skates and that, you have to show up and play, and your effort level has to be acceptable. Ask Jake Gardner and the fans that booed him and the people that were upset that night on that particular play, and it had grown to a head. But I like the honest candor from Austin, although it is a spicy meatball. I mean, how many times... Was it last year he had the concussion? He came out right. Yeah, I got a concussion. Where, you know, the cone of silence was kind of in order, and Austin wasn't buying it. You know, he's a guy that, you know, Hayes, to your point, he's grown up a different way. But that's one where I think if Marlowe was a guy that would be a guy who drew, or maybe Hainsey. Huh. Pull him aside that has a close relationship with him. Don't give the fuel for the fire. That would be a comment on the plane or on the bus is, hey, we know that it didn't go well last night, but you can't add to give them fuel.
Well,
if that
save
makes sense.
Yourself, basically. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and that's what I'm making light of it. I think what Matthew said is right. They looked like, now, you know, it's arbitrary. Quits.
Correct.
Packed it in, whatever you want to call it. I mean, they were still out there giving an effort, quote unquote, but they knew they had lost and they didn't have the same intensity.
Yeah, it was.
But wait. In this.
Wait, like Matthews gets the 4-1 goal. It felt like if they scored, they had the power play. It felt like if they scored on that power play, it's like,
Yeah, but that wasn't in the third period. He said in the third we quit.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and by that point it was over. It was over well before the 4-1 goal. But I'll grant you that. But this was in the third, based on what he said.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, you know, I could see within the room them saying, "Hey, maybe don't go down that road." Like I'm joking about it, but Kadri. He would have said that 5 years ago.
Yeah.
He would have been like, nah, I thought we did this. And now it's like, whoa, he gets it
but
now.
But he understands this market.
He gets the market.
And I think Austin understands it to a point, but I also believe that Austin's at a different level, and he's confident within himself. We've said this a million times. These young players are wired differently. They're not like me and O. Now, O is different than I am. But coming up, I knew what I was. And I knew my place, and I felt like I was media savvy. I felt like I tried to just toe the line. These young players, full of confidence, they're full of skill, they're full of everything. I think Austin's fine with saying it, but I think there's somebody in the room, again, another leader in that room that goes, hey, time and place, because we're already under fire here. We already want to regroup. And,
well, remember the Freddie stuff. The focus was on him the next time out.
Right.
Freddie Anderson was
that
got roasted. Remember people, and I remember you, I don't know if you said, I remember O saying it, I don't like this guy calling out his teammates how often have they bailed him out when he hasn't played well or whatever. And the focus was on him. And I remember the next game, I want to say it was in Ottawa, and he went in there and he played well and he won the game. I don't know if that carries over to Matthews on Wednesday night. I don't know if it's all, okay, Matthews has got to do this or that, because he included himself. You know, Freddie Anderson was more about my teammates didn't do this as opposed to him taking it upon himself.
Pointing out instead of pointing
right.
in. Yeah.
Matthews was speaking about the whole group.
Regardless
of how you paint it, it was a brutal game last
night.
All
I could think of at the end of the game last night, and you guys know me, I try to be right down the line. I thought, I think Chicago's in trouble.
On Wednesday night?
Yeah, that's all I could think of. And Chicago had a good game last night. Like, they rinsed Arizona. I was watching that game. And all I could think about is that's the type of response where you've got 2 days of marinating. You've gone through, which we're going to get to, the Morgan stuff. You've had Austin kind of put themselves on the clock here. Hey, like we weren't good enough. We packed it in the third. All I could think about, maybe this is a positive note. I'm like, I think Chicago's in for one on Wednesday. And you know, Chicago's playing well.
But you know what? Then it better not just be that. If I'm Mike Babcock, I would want Chicago.
Yeah.
And then I'd want to see something good against Philly and then Ottawa.
Yeah,
that's the one thing we haven't seen. We haven't seen them go like 5, 6, 7 games where it's like, man,
in a
they're
while.
Just like running teams.
In a while. Like we saw
October.
It at the start. Yeah, but
that's a while.
But the league is tightened up. Like the league is, you're not seeing, okay, so you had the outlier run. St. Louis was an outlier run.
Mm-hmm.
Boston, you know, 19-0-4, and then, you know, Boston loses. Like they're capable of it, but. I think my more concern with the Leafs is the consistency of the players that are on the ice. And you're starting to see that back end you know, how important moving the puck is and controlling the puck in your own zone. And when you have a couple of injuries and sickness going through, your system has to protect you, and the players that are on the ice have to do a better job. And Tampa took advantage of that. Chicago, there's going to be no excuse.
No, there won't be. But there can't be a malaise with this group. They've got to improve over the next
month.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Raptors are in a bit of a different spot. You know, it's not as if the Raptors are perfect.
Yeah.
You know, they've got to figure out their bench. You know, there were some defensive breakdowns last night that simply can't happen. And Jack Armstrong will join us in 15 minutes on that. But the Raptors, I understand why they're in a malaise. You know, Kawhi Leonard has won an NBA title. Serge Ibaka's been to an NBA Finals. Marcus Gasol, Kyle Lowry, these guys have won a lot of playoff rounds throughout their career, and they've been in the league for a long time. It's a veteran group, and they know who they are, and they know where they're going. They're finishing in the second seed. I think they all accept that. The Maple Leafs should not have that ability. They don't have that ability. These guys haven't won anything in the playoffs. They don't have the ability or the right to say, we're going to flip a switch in a month.
Where I guess you could look at the motivation thing, though.
Yeah, but the motivation should be getting better.
Yeah.
You know, that they should have learned a lesson from that last year.
Tampa has no motivation to do anything.
And do they look like they're slowing down?
No.
They look like they're like, we need to use the final 15 games to get better and make sure that we are ready to rock come the playoffs. I don't sense that with the Maple Leafs.
I think
a malaise is inexcusable right now.
You're right. I think Tampa, this is where I think the Leafs can be in 2 years from now. With the core that's been together, the familiarity. Like, Tampa has plays that where you know those guys have played together for, it seems like, forever.
When did they go to the Cup Final? 2015?
Yes.
So that's, like, that's a long time.
And then they missed the playoffs in 1 year in there.
Had all those guys hurt.
Everyone got hurt. But what I'm saying is, when you've had a core that's played together for a long time, a lot of playing becomes habit and familiarity. So there's no look passes. There's how many east-west plays did Tampa make yesterday where it's like one extra pass because you're looking, and they almost converted it. I don't know how many times. So that's the way I look at it. I think the Leafs are still on the cusp of that familiarity, like a machine. Tampa's just a machine. They play the same way every night, and if they're no good in a period, okay, we can turn it on. The goalie makes a couple saves. Like I look at them. I think Tampa's on a different level than everyone else in the National Hockey League, the way they play.
The only way they're losing is if the goaltender stands on his head or Vasilevsky plays poorly.
Yeah, like
Tampa becomes unhinged.
Right.
If they're disciplined in playing their game and Vasilevsky just plays the way he's capable of playing, they should not lose a Stanley Cup. Forget a round. They should win 16 games.
Really? Like, you think it's like...
Yes. I think they're so that let's good. Say, that, they're that much better than everybody
let's
else.
Let's say they meet up with the Leafs in the second round.
I think the Leafs need to play perfect for four games.
Perfect,
and then I
eh?
Think they win in seven.
Yeah. Okay, well, here
I think for some reason they match up well with Tampa. And the other two games they played against Tampa were pretty good.
I think the Leafs match up well. But are we talking healthy Leafs?
Well, yeah. If there's no Jake Gardner, then...
Well, even... Or
Travis Dermott, I'll throw in there.
But like, you need mobile D that can advance the puck and play the system. And I'm not just pointing to the D. The forwards are guilty in this, too. The forwards have to do a better job helping out in the defensive zone. There were a few last night's an outlier.
Well, they lost draws and then they lost their man.
Yeah, exactly. It was a gong show last night.
Yeah. We'll get into the Morgan Riley stuff at 5 p.m. You know, he was obviously on the ice last night. Something was said. It sounded like a homophobic slur.
Yeah.
Like, it sounded like the word in question. When I saw it, I was like, that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
I understand why people were, you know, basically archiving it, and we're like, what's this all about?
Right.
But then a lot of people were jumping to the conclusion that it was Riley. He was immediately labeled a bigot online by a lot of people.
Right.
And then the NHL eventually investigated, and they determined that he didn't say that. Now, whether it was said by someone else, I don't know where the rest of the investigation goes. I don't know who issued, you know, the complaint in terms of what they should be investigating. I don't know if the Leafs said, hey, look into this. Tampa, if the league was online.
Probably just the online, you know, what is it? I don't know, the outrage?
Well, it picked up a lot of steam. And listen, if he said it, it was deserved outrage. Everyone knows you can't say it.
Yeah.
And if he said it or anybody else said it, they deserved to be painted the way they were going to be painted.
Right.
And there's going to be a penalty that came with it. But he didn't say it.
Right.
So anyway, we'll get to that at 5 p.m. Jack Armstrong's going to join us in about 10 minutes. We got to get into what happened with Russell Westbrook in Utah last night. Conor McGregor at South Beach. I mean, what is going on?
The pets' heads are falling off.
Everyone
That's what it
is freaking out in pro sports. And, you know, we kind of tread lightly when it comes to Trump, but there's a Trump story that I can't avoid today. It's unbelievable.
I must have missed this one.
It's okay, an unbelievable sports story. Okay.
It's not like the Tim Apple, it's another one like that.
Did you see his explanation?
No.
He wanted to be quicker.
The ultimate spin. Trump, like 5 days after, jumps on Twitter and goes, I said it to save time.
Yeah.
First
save
name
time
and company. Tim Apple.
Save time
Tim
and
Apple.
Words, he said. It was awesome.
What? I'm only the president here, man. I don't have time to waste. What a spin. What a spin job. So we'll tell you about that later in the afternoon. Jack Armstrong will join us next. It's been a tough day for Full House fans. Lori Loughlin, a.k.a. Aunt Becky, was indicted on charges of mail fraud and a couple of other charges, basically just bilking the collegiate system down in the States and paying a bunch of money for a guy to get her kids into, I think it was USC. And this is like a big thing down in the States.
I guess.
Felicity Huffman, who's a big actress as well, who's married to William H. Macy. And he's dodging all these bullets today. Like
he's not
trending online. He's a big, big actor, and it's all his wife that's trending and that's being accused here. Where I would think William H. Macy was probably putting some money down too to get their kids into whatever school they wanted to.
Isn't that the guy from Shameless?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's the Shameless money. That's what he's putting down.
Absolutely. But the details on all this, if you're not aware of it, I guess there's some guy out of West Hollywood who's got a full system set up in the States. And he gets, you know, fake SAT scores, and he's got guys on the payroll in all these different schools to get different kids in via, you know, athletics that they don't even perform in, just to get them through the, you know, through the hoops and in the door, so to speak. And it's pretty big, man. It's a lot of money. And the feds stormed in today and said that's enough.
Is that what, I mean, that's what they're putting resources to now? Like,
they don't have anything else going on, Jamie. They got to focus on what matters.
But that's what I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, is this the, like, you got to lock
these
people
up?
Yeah, but
like, I mean, criminals are criminals,
and,
right?
Well, roll them out of there, like, cuff them. And
Hayes and I are being, and you, we're being deprived of opportunities at these elite schools.
That's right.
Not me. I turned them down.
Well, you weren't going to them anyway.
Exactly. I was, didn't O have a full ride to one of them, he claims?
O claims he had a full ride to Harvard. He doesn't have, I don't think he's got his grade 10. Like Ricky and Julian from Trailer Park Boys are more educated than the O-Dog, yeah. But he claims he had a full ride to Harvard.
I will say this, though. If the school wants you bad enough, they will find a way, whether it's in that gray area or not.
Well, and this is a totally different, you know, story, and this is white-collar crime and, right. You know, the rich and the famous, but it's true, man. The whole collegiate system down in the States is so jaded. It's so corrupt.
Well, who was that? Was that Laramie Tunsil?
Yeah. He was at Ole Miss. He was the guy, you know, got hacked in his Twitter account and Instagram account.
Remember he had
right before the draft, right?
He had the ski mask on or whatever. He had the scuba mask on and was smoking dope. But then his phone got hacked and he's like, hey, I need more money for my mom's cell phone and heating bill and all of that.
They were
like,
paying him off. Of course they were.
Of course they were.
Every big recruit, basically every big recruit is getting something on the side.
I think college players should get paid. Think of the money they rake in for those colleges.
Yeah.
You look at those football games, there's 110,000 people at some of these games.
Well, and look at the rich and famous. They're willing to pay a bunch of money. You know, like 500 grand, I think they paid just to get into the school. Their kids just to get into the school,
so
500
how come,
grand.
How come
Aunt Becky.
How come Aunt Becky only paid 15 grand? One of them only paid like 15.
No, I think she paid a lot. That Full House money, it's on Netflix now. Like
That's
she's
true.
Making it
That's
rain.
Big, big cash.
She's making it rain. So the Raptors got smoked last night, and, you know, it was a back-to-back. There were some built-in excuses, but Kawhi played, Lowry played. You know, they're healthy outside of Fred VanVleet not playing, and they got smoked by one of the worst teams in the league. And to chat about it, we're joined now by a Raptors analyst, Jack Armstrong. What happened last night?
Brian, Jamie, Jonah, great to chat with you. First, I got to mention something. I heard you talking about college athletics. I once had a guy when I was the head coach at Niagara, and we're playing Clemson. And he says, hey, coach, why don't we get hooked up like those guys over there? I said, Reggie, if I were going to cheat, I'd sure as hell get a better play than you.
Have you ever seen the movie Blue Chips?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I've seen them all.
Great movie.
I lived the life for 14 years. So I saw, I'm sure you guys were chatting about that scam with tennis coaches. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty imaginative. You know, these coaches think of everything. I mean, the creative levels that some of these guys go to acquire talent. Is beyond belief, and I lived it, and I unfortunately, and actually fortunately didn't do it, that's why I got fired, but that's okay, and I'm happy doing what I'm doing, but to see the level that these guys went to on this one, I'm like, man, that's quite creative, quite imaginative.
Yeah, it was so, quite the scheme.
It was. I tell you what, I give them credit, but thank goodness they got caught, because that's the wrong thing. There were legitimate kids that deserved an opportunity that got screwed. Because these coaches were lowlifes, and but I digress. The Raptors, they were lousy last night.
Yeah, that was not good, man. And you know, it's going to happen, but it's happened a couple of times recently. Like they got smoked by Orlando at home a couple of weeks ago, and I chalk it up to a malaise at this point. You know, it's not excusable, that type of an effort in their performance. I thought defensively they were brutal. You know, they couldn't hit shots clearly like the night before in Miami. They gave up too many freebies to a bad Cleveland team. But I think they know where they're at. They're going to be the second seed. You know, they're a veteran team. I feel like they're just ready to hit fast forward at this point.
Yeah, I get that. And, you know, we saw Golden State lose to Phoenix on Sunday night. And, you know, there's that, you know, malaise and kind of disinterest sometimes that pops up. And, you know, they, relatively speaking, had a healthy roster with the exception of Fred VanVleet last night. But they just had no juice, no mojo whatsoever. And I was joking about it on the telecast, but I really saw it. I'm a big believer in body language. And Nick Nurse on Sunday afternoon in Miami was so calm, so confident. I mean, he literally sat almost the entire game and just kind of let those guys do their thing. And then last night, literally a minute into the game, he was up and he was standing up the entire game. And as a former coach, I know that feeling. And, you know, you got that knot in your stomach, and you're like, I just don't like the vibe I'm getting from my players tonight. I don't think they're invested. And now I'm kind of trying to grind through this and trying to keep them afloat and hope that I can get a good 6-8 minutes out of them and steal a win. But you know what? I will say this. Everyone's saying they got the second seed, which I agree with. And, again, a loss like last night really hurts their chances if they ever even consider catching up Milwaukee, since Milwaukee's got the tiebreaker. But, you know, to me, if you're all in and you're trying to win a title, I still think deep down in the back of your mind you're saying, well, damn, if we win our conference, we want to have a chance to win the title. I'd rather have 4 games at home than 3. So I still want to finish. If I can't beat Milwaukee in the regular season standings, I still want to be the second-best team in the league, because if I win my conference, I'm hosting the finals, and that gives me a better chance to win the whole thing.
Well, it's a good point. I mean, I hadn't thought about the crossover and how it might affect an NBA final, but Serge Ibaka is not necessarily going to help in the next 3 games. the reports are just coming out that it sounds like he's been suspended for 3 games. It's not an official announcement, but reports are coming out that Serge Ibaka getting 3 games. Marquese Chris got a game. I don't know what he did. I mean, he punked him, I guess, on the play. Technically, he threw a couple of bombs, but I think he realized his life was in danger because Serge Ibaka was not in the mood. You know, he didn't get injured. This kind of stuff happens. You don't want it to happen, but it could have been a lot worse. You were there courtside. What went down last night with Serge Ibaka? What set him off the way he did?
Well, first of all, NBA fights in 2019 are literally pillow fights.
Right.
And mainly nonsense. And so Serge is a temperamental guy and a proud guy. And I thought Chris pulled him down a little bit with that 1 second left. And I don't think he liked it. And then Chris popped off and said something to him. Serge has a quick trigger. And again, he's a competitor. And he just lost it. And, you know, okay, you know, so it's 3 games, and it's unfortunate. But I do think it also shows that the kind of competitor he is. And on the other hand, I think in the playoffs, he's got to be aware of the fact that people are going to try to bait him. people are going to talk smack to him, and the games get bigger and the pressure gets bigger. He's got to find a way to walk away from that. So hopefully it's a good lesson learned for him. And I think for the Raptor organization, I've been saying this for a few weeks now, they have two open roster spots. Not just one, they have two. They have one they got to get to the minimum, but they got two. And I felt that the trade deadline, they had a need for to add another shooter. I know they tried to get Wayne Ellington, who's in Detroit. They didn't get him. They brought Jody Meeks in on a 10-day. And I still feel like to have a little bit of insurance there wouldn't hurt. And I also felt like, you know, you waived Greg Monroe, and now you don't necessarily have that insurance if, God forbid, Ibaka or Gasol or Siakam get hurt. Obviously, you could play small. I get that. But, you know, I think to put your head on the pillow at night, I feel a little bit more comfortable having another insurance big. And obviously, you can't re-sign Monroe because once he's gone, you can't bring him back in the same year. But I just think that, you know, you look at playing particularly Detroit on Sunday, and if, in fact, he is suspended three games, those guys are complete and total beasts. Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond, you know, the last time I checked, it's going to be difficult for Gasol and Siakam to play 48 minutes. And now you're starting to talk about OG Anunoby and Kawhi Leonard playing at the four if he's playing and all that kind of stuff. And again, Nick Nurse does a masterful job mixing and matching. But if there's an opportunity to pick up a player or two, maybe last night kind of magnifies that and amplifies that much more, that when you get in the playoffs, God forbid someone gets sick or hurt, whatever, to have a little bit more insurance if you're all in, I think is a good thing to do.
Well, Jack, at least with three games, we're going to get to see Marc Gasol in the starting lineup. How do you kind of play with that whole thing with Serge Ibaka and Gasol, given that, like, your best lineup might be with Marc Gasol in the starting lineup, but your best usage maybe of Serge Ibaka might be in the starting lineup? Like, how do you think that will all shake out by the time the playoffs do start?
That's a good point. And I think when the rotations start to get tighter, I think Ibaka and Gasol will be playing on the floor with a better foursome along with them. I don't know if that makes sense,
mm-hmm.
but like personnel groupings. So I think either one of them will be more comfortable and more effective and successful because you'll be going less deep into your bench. Now, obviously, in the first round, depending on who you're playing, maybe you go a little bit of a 9-man, 10-man rotation. We'll see, depending on who you're playing and what the matchups are. But I think when you get into the second round, the East, and the East Finals, if you get there, oh my goodness, it's a killer. I mean, if you talk about having to play Philadelphia, Boston in the second round, which is a nightmare. I mean, I think Indiana's going to fade to fifth based upon what I'm seeing right now. And I don't see them being able to beat either Boston or Philly. You know, I think now you're down to an 8, maybe an occasional 9-man rotation. And then when you get to the East Finals, same thing. So I think if you're like one of those guys that's kind of the periphery and you're like an 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th guy, man, oh, man, people might be saying these games don't mean a lot, but these are your Super Bowls. You better be playing your tail off and playing great if you want to play in the playoffs. Because if I'm Nick Nurse, based upon the volatility of this bench, I'm riding my starters a little bit more considering I got days off in between. And, again, I think that'll benefit the bigs. And I think getting Fred VanVleet will benefit this team greatly. He's another shooter. And I think it'll help settle Jeremy Lin down a little bit to have a guy like that with him.
Great stuff, Jack. We'll do it again later in the week. Thank you, buddy.
You guys, no problem. If you want a scholarship to some godforsaken junior college in Florida, I think we can work it out on tennis.
I would love it.
Tennis or golf? What do you think? We can work it out.
Yeah, we'll do it.
$100,000 payment to some scam charity, and you're all set.
I need to get in on that. I think I'll be like Rodney Dangerfield. What movie was that?
Back to School?
Back to School, exactly. I'm going back to school on your dime, Jack, so you need to find the money.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you, buddy.
I tell you what, those dudes were masterful. That is amazing stuff. That's good stuff.
Well, they got caught, so they weren't that masterful.
No, they did. Exactly. Yeah. It always catches up with you.
All right. Thanks, Jack.
You got it, guys.
There's Jack Armstrong, our Raptors analyst. Aunt Becky in some trouble. I never thought I'd see the day.
You're really torn up by this.
Well, I was a Full House guy growing up. I was subjected to it. I liked it. I was a fan of that show. It's a big part of my childhood.
I think O is pretty good buddies with that Dave Coulier.
Yeah, he is.
I've met him a few times. Big hockey fan.
Yeah. Joey.
Is that what his name was?
Yeah.
There was Uncle Jesse, right?
Uncle Jesse was John Stamos.
That guy.
Danny Tanner was handsome. What's his name?
The dad.
The comedian?
I can't remember
what's his name in real life?
Oh, he's...
doesn't matter.
He's a comedian in Hollywood that's actually quite vulgar.
Oh, yeah. It's like X-rated. It was, yeah. It was a complete opposite. And his story, apparently, he was on like Quaaludes the whole time. Like, he was a real mess during the shooting like of the show. He's hanging around kids and stuff.
Wow.
This guy was allegedly a bit of a disaster, but...
It's bothering me now. I'm going to figure out
look
his
Bob
name.
Saget.
Bob Saget. There you go.
Yeah, he was something else.
Yeah. All right, race coming up, we believe. Mark Shapiro's on the show at 5:30. This is twice in like 2 months Mark's been on the show.
Are you going to go Larry King?
No, I think we're all going to be included in this, right? We'll talk about Vladdy, Marcus Stroman. He had some interesting comments about Stroman and why he likes him in the clubhouse. We'll get him to expand on that. That's coming up at 5:30. But the Trumpster with an all-time big wheel move. An all-time big wheel move in the golf world. We'll tell you about that next. All right, Mark Shapiro will join us at 5:30. We have a pair of tickets to give away to the Leafs-Rangers game Saturday, March 23rd, and every day this week. We will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you can call in and name that Leaf. And if you name him first, you're going to see that game. Today's clue, this Maple Leaf has scored 35 goals in a single season while playing in Toronto. This Maple Leaf had at least one 35-goal season
in Toronto. Who is it, Jonas?
I don't know. I was just liking the way how you have to kind of read it twice. I'm Brian Hayes.
I got squeezed by Al last week. I don't know if you were here.
No. What happened? What did Al do?
Well, I hate to, you know,
no, throw him under the bus. I want to take a run at Al here.
Well, Al had updated the clue on the rundown, right? But I have this page. It's a very important page with all the reads, right? This is the most important page in the studio.
Yes.
And it has the read. And that's the one I read every day.
Right.
Al neglected to update that clue. So I went full burgundy. I went through the whole read, and then I read the clue, and it dawned on me that was yesterday's clue.
And I'm Ron Burgundy.
And I'm Brian
Hayes. Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
Basically. That's what I told all the Overdrive listeners.
So
I
you
essentially
went burgundy.
Said that. I went burgundy on everybody. And it was all Al's fault, not to point fingers.
No, it was all Al's fault. I mean...
I hate to point fingers, but it was all Al.
Yeah, like that's on Al.
Right. I mean, I'm just a professional broadcaster here. What do you want out of me?
It wasn't like it was running the prompter. Like, that's your read. If they put it in front of you, you must read it.
Right. Exactly.
Unless they're swear words with a question mark behind it.
And if that happened, then I'd really be throwing Al under the bus.
Exactly.
You know, but Al just goes about his business.
Al's glowing.
Al is a new man. You know, I don't know if this is public knowledge. I assume that it is.
Did you tweet it out or something?
Al's engaged.
Wow.
He's officially a new man, which means there's only one guy in this room that isn't engaged.
You better not go there, man.
Or married.
Well,
now, I hate to bring that up because I would guess she's probably listening. Friend of the show.
Nah, she doesn't usually listen.
Yeah, I guess not.
You're going to tell her not to listen to this segment.
Yeah, make sure she doesn't listen to the podcast because if Al is beating you to the punch, you're in trouble.
How many years?
That's private business.
What do you mean? I remember
no,
you being...
No, it's almost 10.
Yeah, because I went for, like, lunch with you and her, like, years ago.
Yeah. Orla. Can we name her name? It's just... Yeah, we
well,
got
you just...
I've said it now. It's out there. She's all a friend of the show. We all know
we
Orla. We all love Orla.
It doesn't matter. It's
all
about
good.
The proper timetable for that couple. There's no manual to get this done. Believe me, I got 42 years old. That's how old I was, I think.
You should probably know that, I think.
In that wheelhouse, something.
You were over 40.
I was over 40 before I looked to settle down.
Listen, you got to do what you got to do. And,
exactly. You got plenty of time.
Someone that, I guess, runs and operates the locker rooms down at the Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach.
Yes.
Someone issued an order, and I guess he didn't have a choice. He had to follow through on this. All right, so Trump is always boasting about how, you know, he's a quality golfer, and by all accounts, he's pretty good. He claims he doesn't cheat. There have been stories
that's
that
hard to say
he cheats. That he definitely cheats. But he's a guy, he likes to pump his own tires when he achieves anything, right? And I guess down at this course, and it's a great course down in West Palm, he won the men's club champion in 99, in 2001 and 2009. He won the senior club championship in 2012 and 2013. In 2018, he was the president. He didn't even play in the tournament. And somehow, on his locker, it says 2018 men's club champion, Donald Trump.
Well, so you could have a... You can have somebody make that up and stick that on there.
Well, but it's clearly made up. But I kind of appreciate the fact that he doesn't even care that everyone at the club knows he didn't even play in the tournament. But he has issued an order. You got to put that on my locker that I won that tournament.
Whoever does that, the engraving and the plaque making or whatever, has to go and screw that onto his locker.
Right. Didn't even play in the tournament, but I won the tournament.
Of course.
That's the fakest of fake news. Yet it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
he's supporting it, and listen. If you own the course, I guess you can do whatever you want.
I'm sure he tells people hole in one, left and right.
Yeah. Well, that's still a Kim Jong Un move.
Yes.
Remember, he shot like a 38 his first time playing golf. 11 hole in ones.
11 hole.
I think he had a hole in one when he was like 3.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. All right, Ray Ferraro. We believe Ray's coming up. Mark Shapiro. We know he's coming up at 5:30.